Hey, welcome to today's message on the teaching of Jesus. We're in the middle of a series on the life of Jesus, exploring who Jesus is, what he came to do, what he was like when he lived on earth, and then what did he teach, and how did he show us how to live? So as we launch into this message, I'm so aware of the idea that Jesus says when he says, come, follow me. And he asks people to follow him. And in his time on earth, 2,000 years ago, he would literally walk around saying, hey, come follow me. Leave your boats and your nets, leave your tax collecting booth, leave your lifestyle, leave your parents, and come follow me. It was such a common idea of Jesus. But I wonder what it looks like in our age. I wonder, do we even follow people anymore? Or I wonder, do we just have this idea that we're an autonomous self and I don't follow anyone. Nobody tells me what to do. I decide I'm the captain of my fate and the master of my destiny. Perhaps we don't follow people anymore, but well, perhaps we do. In preparing for this message, I did an experiment. I gave myself 30 minutes solely to focus on Instagram Reels to see what people are following. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on social media for reasons for that. But, you know, as I experimented and I chased after and tried to understand what is being followed, I came across a whole range of ideas. Let me share you a few things here of what I found. I found ideas about computer hacks. I found recipes to follow. I found people who would remind me of things every day. I'd discover how to turn water into wine, apparently. And then I discovered how never to post on Instagram again. And you can see that these things are from a whole variety of places and ideas, the whole variety of topics, things. And all these were just coming at me one after another. They were videos, they were talking heads, they were full of advice. They'd come from different perspectives and backgrounds and ideologies. And wow. And then, you know what I discovered here? I discovered things about cars and lychee picking, yes, and the best pizza in Parramatta. And I discovered about redheads, and I discovered about lymph nodes. My goodness, you would never know all the advice and the information that you could follow online. And as I did this, I was so aware of the attention economy that if I paused or looked at something in depth, and then guess what would be fed back at me is all these other ideas. And that's that attention economy. Whatever I follow, I reproduce, and I get fed more of the echo chamber of social media. An experiment in itself. But you know what it left me feeling was numb and confused and talked at and argued at. And I thought, wow, this is the world that so many people in our society live in. Perhaps you live in that world. Perhaps you live in a world of following and of being influenced by things that you see around you on social media. At the end of all that, I picked up my Bible, the book Bible. And it was such a relief to turn to the pages of Jesus, where his timeless wisdom would stand out, where his words still cut through, but they don't yell at you through a screen. They draw you in and they make you think. And his words are surrounded by such peace and life and wholesome, full life. I want to share with you five things that Jesus taught after we look at how our world sees those things. Let me start with the first one here as we discover what the world is saying to us as we follow Instagram, social media. First one is success in life. You know, we see on how to have success in life. The screens yell at us and sort of convince us that to be significant, to be successful in life, is to have lots of followers, is to have influence over other people. That's true success. And sometimes that results in an unhealthy comparison and unhealthy lifestyles and the pressure to conform and the pressure to be significant and the pressure to be understood and known. What if nobody likes what I post? How do I feel? What if I have no one that follows? What if what I have doesn't make sense to people? What if it's not popular anymore? And the idea of success in life screaming from our screens to be a certain shape or size or look or feel or color or something, and we feel like we're not good enough. And it leads to incredible anxiety and concern around our position in life. What about financial security? What is the advice that I'm getting online? Well, I discovered a guru here who said I could have success and spirituality all the way from India, and some ideas of different worldviews from a different religion and background. And then I saw the road to success and how I could climb the ladder of success from my dreams, everything right through to success. But it just felt like so much pressure that the answer that financial security is everything. I have to build up a portfolio of investments. But what if I don't? Or what if I can't? And again, the pressure that I fear and selfishness and greed, and sometimes it results in stinginess because I've got to accumulate and acquire the things that I see yelling at me from the screen. I wonder if that financial advice is worth following. I wonder if the hints of the things that I get with the snippets of reels is really sound advice. But I don't have time to discern. I got so much more to look at, don't I? And then there's so much advice to follow on sexuality. I call it sexual integrity. What are the messages that are being bombarded at me? In this case, I found advice on how to chase women. Wow. Or how to search for the right woman. And I wonder some of the algorithms behind the scenes. It was telling me that I had to do whatever I wanted to do, be whoever I wanted to be. Don't conform, don't shut down to those old patterns. But you can have everything. And there is no morality anymore around sexuality. You do what you like and watch what you like and follow what you like, and it is okay. These are the messages that are screaming at me by the way people dress and the attitudes and the worldview they promote. The result is abuse of people. The result is that situations and people lack peace inside, they lack wholeness, and their lives are so often filled with shame and guilt, but they don't even know why, because they're following an ethic which is unwholesome and unhealthy. Is that worthy of following? Is that the kind of life that we want to see in our own world and in the lives of our family and friends? And then I found advice on dealing with offense. And what do I do when I've been wronged? And so many wisdoms and advice on, you know, how to do this, but it was all calculated and so manipulated. And even to pay back, if I've been wrong, then you get them back, and this is how you do it. Or if someone says something to you, then this is how you respond, and you manipulate the situation. But I just wonder, does that leave us in an ongoing cycle of retaliation, where we never are truly reconciled with people? We're always hurt or offended or wounded, and we fire back things, even publicly, on Twitter or X. Or we just have arguments with people, but we never reconcile. We never even want to reconcile anymore. We just want to have our opinions. I wonder, is that the kind of world we want to live in? Is that the kind of shape of our society that is being promoted? What if we really thought it through, where that would end us up? Is that the kind of person I want to be? And then there was so much advice to follow on the future. What is our future going to be? What does the future hold for our planet? All these questions. That the climate crisis is a feminist issue. I don't even know what that means. And that 2023 will officially be the hottest year on record. I'm not so sure. I don't know if our records go back really beyond 100 years, let alone millions of years, but apparently that the world is. And so the fear, the messages, war and environmental catastrophe and people coping, and it leaves us with anxiety and pressure and angst and this unrealistic legalism of what I'm supposed to eat and wear and do, because the planet is doomed. I'm telling you, there's a problem here. I'm not saying we don't look after our planet, but the narrative of that we've done it really badly and we're all bad, I'm not sure that that's a really healthy worldview and that our kids could grow up in that space and still be whole and healthy. After all this, I was looking for someone to follow who made sense, someone with wisdom of the years, someone who actually was a true guru, a true influencer, who's got a track record, not just a billion followers, but multiple followers. This is the Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah who not only has ideas about life, but who actually made the planet, who actually formed people, who actually started everything from the beginning. And his advice around following is simply this. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And then I'll find rest for my soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I tell you, This is such refreshing news that there is someone to follow here. And let's unpack this a little bit. If you're weary of trying to follow all the advice in our world, the ever-shifting advice, he says, come to me. If you're weary of it and you're laboring and you'd rest, come to Jesus and rest. You'll find physical rest. You'll find mental rest. But more than that, the offer is soul rest, but there's a catch. Can you see the catch? It's right here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and then you'll find rest for your souls. You see, take my yoke upon me. Well, what this actually means is that there is a sense that Jesus has a way of following. Back in the day of Jesus, there were people called rabbis. They were religious teachers of the Hebrew tradition. And there were followers or disciples or apprentices is a good word. And so what would happen is that the yoke idea, originally in farming terms, where, you know, an oxen would be strapped to another oxen and that would form the yoke. Well, that idea of farming took on discipleship models. So a rabbi would say, hey, if you want to be like me, walk the way I do. Take my yoke upon you, which in other words, it just means follow me. Do life my way. Do things my way, and you will discover the yoke is refreshing. So the yoke here is simply just a way of life. And so what Jesus is saying here is come follow me and I'll make you. Come follow me and I'll give you rest. Come follow me. Copy my lifestyle and it will be good for your soul. So I thought I'd like to unpack that a little bit with some of those five key things that I talked about that I've been influenced by on Instagram. I tell you, let's find out what the Bible says about those things and compare the result to our soul. And maybe, just maybe, Jesus, after all these years with all of his teaching, has something to tell us. Let's explore that. Let's talk about success in life. You've heard it said that, you know, we should have lots of followers, but this is what Jesus says. He says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is funny. Jesus' followers, right? His disciples, his apprentices, came to him and said, look, who would you say is the greatest? And so Jesus calls a child and put them in the midst of them and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, children in those days weren't like children in our age. They weren't entitled and full of their own importance. They were actually quite lowly in society. So he's putting someone who's very insignificant in the world's eyes in the middle and says, become like this. It's called downward mobility. Be humble. Don't assume to be anyone. You are the greatest when you are the least. You are the most significant when you're the least self-importance. That is so contrary to the thinking of our day, when to be important is to be surrounded by influences and to have your name everywhere and to be successful and prosperous. But Jesus is saying actually to be the greatest is to be like a child. Downward mobility. You have permission not to be successful in the eyes of the world, but to serve and to be humble is to be the greatest success. Jesus elsewhere says that to serve is to be the greatest, that Jesus himself came to model that idea of serving. Greatness comes through humility and simplicity, finding true meaning beyond the success metrics of our world. So rewire your worldview through the teaching of Jesus. That's the kingdom way. You see, Jesus' teaching is about the kingdom. It's about how to be great in the kingdom. It's to be the least. Let's look at another one. How do I find financial security? Because again, our world has all these other messages, but Jesus says this. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure. Sorry, but lay up treasure for yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Just don't early in this passage it says, you know, don't build bigger barns and don't store things up for yourself, but store things up in heaven. Give to God, give to other people. Be anti-materialist. You don't need to have a massive pile of money. You don't need millions and millions of dollars. You need Jesus. And what Jesus is doing is he's turning the thinking of the world upside down. And the result is giving and trust and contentment and generosity and life that flows out instead of stinginess and greed. Therefore, take heart that you think maybe you don't have much money, but your treasure is Jesus. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. And you can trust that he'll provide for you as you follow him. It's a radical, refreshing way to live. What about sexuality? The Bible has lots to say on sexual integrity. You see, our world is rampant. Our world is crazy. We live in such a promiscuous age where sex is everywhere. How do we deal with that? When the message of the Word of God is so contrary to everything we see when we pick up our devices. Everything is so different to the movies that we watch and the things that are shouted at us. You see, we are taking on the yoke or the teaching or the ways of our world when we just blindly follow that, but we do it to our own detriment. Jesus' warning is very clear. He says, you've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. Fair enough. But Jesus rewires this and he says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He's talking to men, but the same applies in the reverse to women. And then he says something very curious. He says, if your eye, right eye, causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. He says, this is real. This is a real battle. Your eye, what you see, and your hand, what you do, it can distract and take away your whole salvation. If you're not careful, not just in your actions, but in what you think about and what you look upon. Jesus is radically redefining discipleship here. Not just actions or legalism, but in our thought and in our heart, in our motivations. So why Jesus is such a great ethical teacher. He's not just an ethical teacher, he's the Son of God. But he's a brilliant teacher and he goes right to the heart of humanity where we don't have a lot of integrity. We might think that we get away with thinking one thing and saying another. or thinking one thing and doing another, but actually Jesus is after integrity. What we are on the inside is the same on the outside. That's the teaching of Jesus. The teaching here then is be radical. Cut things off. Now, it's not saying really pluck out your eye or cut off your hand. This is hyperbole. This is exaggeration. But are there things in your world that are causing you to stumble in this area? Is there a pornography issue that you need to deal with? Are there challenges like this that you've got to sort, or you will get derailed? Pornography is like a big fish hook covered in chocolate. It looks so good, but when you take that thing, it sucks you in. Men, women, kids, you got to deal with this stuff. Cut it off, work out a way. Now, here's something that I did while I was preparing this message, actually, on my Facebook feed, on my iPad, just normal Facebook, there appeared pretty much a naked woman, some pornographic material it was horrifying because I'm very careful on what I click on and what I do. But for that to get right through to my normal Facebook feed, it horrified me. So what I did about it is I put this filter on it. I have a filter at home for my kids. And it just makes sure that images don't come through. Now, I put that, I made a profile for myself as a 16-year-old. And I put this filter on my own iPad so that I didn't have any problems. Now, I should have done that a while ago, but I just thought, I know what I'm doing. I'm an adult. But you know what? Take time. Take time to look at internet filters and ways and things that come through your screen. Be accountable to people, but follow through on this, because the result is a good sexuality, a healthy sexuality that is wholesome and fun and filled with joy. And it gives you soul peace on the inside. Sex is God's idea. But we've got to take it and grab it and hone our own world. It's so refreshing. Let's keep going. There's a few more I want to talk through. Dealing with offense. What does the Bible have to say about things like offense? What do I do when I've been wronged? And again, Jesus changes the ethic. And he goes, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, that's pretty true of our world as well. He's referring to the Old Testament here. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, God loves all people. All people across Bathurst get rain. All people. And he says something radical. Love your enemies. Not even just tolerate them or just ignore them or just unfriend them. Love them. Now, the situations we probably should be wise to disconnect from people who are enemies. But to love them in your heart and pray for them is a whole nother deal. Jesus is a radical person who's going right to the core. He says, everybody loves their friends, but if you want to really be my disciple, love your enemies. Forgive people all the time. Serve people. Pray for them. That's how you deal with offense. Can you imagine how global situations would change if nations, if countries adopted this idea? Can you imagine the shift in world history if we loved their enemies? You see, the teaching of Jesus is wrapped up in such a big picture, grand view of the kingdom of God that he will one day come and make all things new. Speaking of which, the last one is about the future. We're not to be filled with fear of the future. We're not to be filled with anxiety. We know that there is a beginning and an end. We know that Jesus will come back. This is what he says. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory to earth and all the angels with him, and when he sits on his glorious throne, he will gather all the nations together and he will separate, he will judge people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. There is a coming time when Jesus will come back. He's going to come in his glory. It's going to happen. This is the end. this is the end of now and the start of something beautiful. And God comes and dwells with us and makes all things new and fixes everything up. We're part of that right now. It's called the kingdom of God breaking out. It's called the kingdom of God becoming whole and new. You and I are part of that process. There will be a final judgment, and it will be around what have you done with the person of Jesus. And judging is a good thing. If you've been wronged, really, you want judgment. If you've been abused or if you've been hurt in a major way, you want to see justice done. That's what Jesus is coming to do. He'll deal with it. But it's going to be bring so much hope and so much future and promise of an eternity lived in glory where we get to be with Jesus forever, reigning and ruling with him. That's the end for those who love him. So you don't need to be afraid of the fear and the anxieties that come online. You can look forward to the hope of a new creation when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness. I tell you, it's such an exciting thought. Let's revisit this verse. And this is an invitation for you right now. It might even be a prayer that you want to pray. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Is that you? Have you been following all kinds of other people? Have you been following different ideologies? Have you been pressured into thinking like so much of the world thinks? Are you feeling the effects of anxiety and fear and grief and insecurities? Have you been concerned? All you've got to do is come to him. Come to Jesus and rest. Lay down your burdens and take up his yoke, his ways, his lifestyle. Apprentice yourself to Jesus. Learn his ways and you'll find rest for your soul. That's a promise. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's not going to fill you with all the things that our world fills you. He's going to fill you with joy and life and freedom and fullness of hope. Jesus has so much to promise, so much in store for you. I urge you to take off the yoke that this world gives us. Throw it away and take on the yoke, the lifestyle, the kingdom lifestyle of Jesus. And you will discover for yourself how radically different this is. Let me pray for you as we finish. Lord Jesus, I'm praying for each person who's listening to this. I'm praying that they would hear these words of yours straight from your Holy Spirit. I pray they have the courage to lay down the thinking of our world and to take up the yoke of Christ, to follow and to be fully whole. Bless them. Help them to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.